Good morning, everybody. It's really good to see you guys face to face this morning. And I don't have to stare at a lens, but I can actually look at people's faces and eyes. So wasn't sure if anyone was going to join this morning, but happy to see everybody here this morning. And so if you would just join me in a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Father God, thank you that we give you praise, and we're so grateful that today is Thursday, that we can meet together for EMP, that things are opening up now. And we're just very grateful, Lord, for this situation before us. Yes, Lord. I just pray that this morning, as we gather to meet with you, that you would speak to us, that your word would minister to us, that as we worship later, that we could really experience you as we worship. Sense your presence in your house, Lord. We're just so grateful, Lord. And so would you just speak to us today? We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so today we are going to read from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Okay? I'll give you a second to turn there. Luke 18, 9 to 14. I'm reading from the NASB. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Amen. Yeah, how this parable came to mind to me recently was because this is one of the parables that I guess they did at SB Kids. And after every Sunday, I asked my kids, more so my daughter because she's a little older, I said, oh, what'd you learn today? And she talked about this passage. And I am embarrassed to say that, you know, when I first ever encountered this passage and as I read this passage, when the tax collector said, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like tax collectors. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. I was like, oh yeah, this is a great prayer, right? Like, you know, I thought, oh, he's praying earnestly. He's really, you know, he's comparing himself to others. He's aware of what he's really to be grateful for, right? And on top of this, he's tithing and he's fasting twice a week. What a great guy, right? And then as obviously once you get to the conclusion, you realize, oh, shoot, actually, this is not what Jesus is pleased with, right? And so this is a parable that he's sharing. And he makes it very clear at the beginning what this parable is about. It's about those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. And so let's look at this Pharisee first, okay? So this Pharisee, what he's doing is, you see, he's comparing himself to other people, Right. In this case, it says swindlers, adulterers, tax collectors. And he's also looking to what he has done. In this case, fasting and tithing, right? And by looking at what he's done and comparing himself to others, he feels good about himself. He's validating his righteousness. And I think the reason, like the first time I read this, I was like, oh, this guy's a good guy. He's grateful and, he's doing all these things. The reason I thought, oh, this is a good guy is because I recognize that I do this, right? And hopefully we can recognize we do this. This is an act of our flesh, right? And it's very natural for us to compare ourselves to other people, right? And I've said this for sure, right? Like, especially if I've done something wrong, right? And I've shared, maybe when, if I, I'm, just, I'm thinking of the context, if I'm sharing with my, oh, like, even if I'm like, I was thinking like, maybe I've been like kind of lustful, right, in my heart, and then I confess that to my wife, and I say to her, well, don't worry, it's not like I looked at porn, right? Like saying, I was bad, but I wasn't that bad, right? And I hear people, they say, oh, you know, as I think, even though I'm not like, I haven't really been that great with God, but it's not like I'm getting drunk on my Saturday evenings, right? It's not like I'm partying like crazy, right? Or maybe you sometimes feel guilty. You're like, well, even though I feel like I'm a bad Christian, it's not like I'm a rapist or a murderer, right? To make it feel like I'm not so bad. And of course, we look to the things that we do, especially spiritual things, to make us feel good about ourselves. Also guilty, right? Which is, you know, someone's asked you, hey, how have you been doing spiritually? And I'm like, am I doing good? Well, let me think. What have I been doing? I'm doing my quiet time, right? Maybe you're fasting. And you're like, yeah, you know, I think I'm doing pretty good spiritually. And so if you've been doing this, this is not meant to condemn you. And I think you can look to these things. But I think what's wrong in this situation, he was looking to these things, comparing with other people, looking at the things that he's did as the definer, right? And so while it's good to be aware, we shouldn't put so much value in comparing ourselves to others or what we do. And that's the problem. That was how this Pharisee was defining his righteousness, based on his comparison to other people and by what he did. And this is not what God likes or appreciates, that we value, put our value in these things. Because here's the problem also if we have this mindset, right? So this is the Pharisee. He's feeling very proud of himself, very arrogant, you could say, and he's comparing, he's looking down at people. He's looking at what he does for value. But what happens if you don't add up to those things, right? We compare ourselves to other people, and instead of looking down, we look up. We're like, oh, everyone else is so amazing. Look at what they've achieved in their lives, right? He's doing all these things, serving and blah, blah, blah. Look at me. I suck. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. And so the feeling that will come is guilt, insecurity. Guilt, you're not doing enough. Insecurity, because you don't compare to other people. And believe it or not, a lot of Christians feel this way, right? In fact, I should say we all often feel this way. We're insecure. We feel guilty because we're not doing enough. And so, you know, some Christians even say, oh, this sucks. All this comparing, all this guilt. It would be so much easier to not be a Christian, wouldn't it? Then I don't have to deal with all this guilt. But to me, maybe because I didn't grow up as a Christian. And so to me, I'm like, huh? Because the reason I became a Christian was to be freed of all this guilt, right? It's not like if you're not a Christian, you don't feel guilty. You're not. I think it's because God made us in a way. So even if you're not a Christian or follow Jesus, you will still compare yourself to others. You still feel guilty. And so to me, the reason one of the benefits and one of the things that we get to receive when we follow Christ is to be freed of this guilt in comparison. And so you have to really think, if we're Christians and we're struggling with this, and we all struggle with this, but it's whether you've come to accept this as like, there's something, I think, wrong with our, I guess, theology, right? Because, I mean, as I was going through this parable, I was like, oh, this is a profound parable if you really go a little deeper. And then you look at the tax collector, right? And he says based on the things he said, we can draw two very profound things about him. Number one is that he is a sinner, right? Which is, he's not comparing, or I should say he is comparing, but he's comparing the other way. Right, which is, I'm not good enough, all these things. And the problem is, and I think a lot of us, the problem is if you just stop there, which is just like, I can't do it. I'm so weak, I'm a sinner. But along with that recognition of who he is, there's the second part that is very profound. And that is, I mean, they're both coming to temple. Right, so they're there, the Pharisee and this tax collector, they've come to pray, right? And he says, his prayer is, besides I'm a sinner, is God, be merciful to me. And so he's come to pray, to ask for mercy, because he recognizes that God is merciful. And that if he asks for it, he's going to receive this mercy. Those are kind of the two things that we need to really thrive as followers of Jesus, right? Is the humility and awareness that, yeah, I'm a sinner. I can't do it without you, God. But just that is not enough. Along with that is, well, I can't do it. I'm a sinner, unable. But we have God, Jesus, who is forgiving, who has forgiven us of our sins, and through him, I am able. Right? And those two things together are really what sets us free. Because if you recognize that you're, in this case, your righteousness, it really doesn't come from other people, right? And it doesn't come from earning it through what you do, then it really does set you free, right? It sets you free. Like, think about all the stress that we have growing up, even now, it's because we're comparing. I think of high school. I really didn't enjoy high school. And there's only one reason I didn't enjoy high school. I really wanted to be cool. I wanted to be popular. I wanted cooler, better, I know, friends and circumstances. So I was never satisfied in high school, even though I had actually really great like people in my life. But I was never satisfied, right? And it wasn't until, in some ways, until I became a Christian, where I recognized, oh wow, God is the one who accepts me for who I am. He's the one who gives me value and righteousness. Then I was free to just be myself. And so this, the reason, like you can say this parable is super profound because it pretty much follows one of the doctrines that we follow especially as a Protestant Christian. And this doctrine is the doctrine of justification by faith alone, which means it's only by our faith and because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us that we are justified. And so instead, so the way we do relationship with God is we don't serve, you know, we don't obey so that we are justified. We are already justified because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so we respond freely to serve and obey. And if you've ever experienced this, being in a relationship where you have to earn, it sucks, right? I imagine, and it's very unpleasant. And, you know, there's times when I'm in a disagreement with my wife and I'm like, unless you change, unless you do this, then I'll be loving, right? You need to prove it, like, I don't say it out loud because I'm smart or proud, but in my heart is, I need you to prove yourself before I open up my heart and love you back. You cannot do relationship in this way, right? And so you need to really do a healthy relationship, it's not about proving, it's about loving first, right? And Jesus did this. He's the one who loved us first, and so we get to freely respond. And so we need to do the same with people. We need to love first so that they and us can freely respond to each other. And so not only does this parable affect us on a personal level with the way we, I guess, in terms of personal identity, but if you take this and you really believe it, that like we're all sinners, that we all need the mercy of God, and you apply it not just to yourself but to other people, then I think it would also really change the way we love and do relationships. Because one of the problems in any sort of disagreement or relationship is people don't meet our expectations, right? When we get angry, we feel entitled because, oh, blah, 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 they should have done this, they should have done that. But maybe, just maybe, if we recognize, actually, we're all sinners, right? And we are able to be merciful to each other, then that would be something amazing. I would say, you know, we in church, you know, we talk about this idea of unconditional love, right? I think that's what it is, right? It's even though someone, and I mean, we're just talking about like family and like our parents. Hopefully they're not, my parents aren't listening. But it's just like, oh, like learning, even like our parents who are so, like supposed to be so close to us, right? It's like we were kind of talking and sharing about like learning, oh, how do we, it's interesting, like as I got older, you learn about your parents, because when you're a kid, you think your parents are perfect, right? And then as you get older, you're like, oh, wow, they're actually not so perfect. There's all these things that they have weaknesses and struggles, and yet we need to learn to love them for who they are. Despite, it's not to ignore those weaknesses, but they're there. And yet, we can be merciful and still love them for exactly who they are and still do relationship with them. We need to be, if we recognize nothing to compare within us, nothing to earn, then hopefully that will help to freely love others who are also the same as you, who are not perfect. And I have to be reminded of this, especially with my kids, right? Like, they're not listening, they're whining, they're crying, I get angry. And then I have to take a step back. And I said, you know, kids, just to give context, I have a 3-year-old and a 7-year-old. They're trying to figure out how to be patient. They are very emotional. When they experience disappointment or rejection or discipline for something so little, the reason is because they've never really had a chance to experience it. And so, of course, they react very strongly. And so I always have to remind myself, you know, it's normal and healthy for them to whine and have reaction, and I need to be patient with them because I'm the adult. I'm the one who's supposed to be able to not be led by my emotions and teach them, right? Of course, that doesn't always happen, but I need to remind myself that. And I think we need to remind ourselves that about us, that yes, we're imperfect. Embrace the truth of who we are, which is we're weak, right? I don't have it together. I'm trying my best, but still not good enough. But Lord, have mercy. Help me. Holy Spirit, help me. And if we're willing to receive this type of mercy and grace, hopefully we can also extend that mercy and grace to others. Recognize that they too are going to make mistakes. They are going to fall short of our expectations. So I want to invite Wesley. Is that Wesley? It's been so long. I feel like he's grown. Wesley up. And let's just take a time to meditate, right? Are you feeling feelings of insecurity, comparison, dissatisfaction in others? And just go back to this, one of our doctrinal beliefs, which is justification by faith alone, right? Which is, you know, we don't serve or obey to be justified, but we are actually already justified by Jesus through our faith alone and not our works. And so in response, we are free to obey and serve as a loving response to God. Something that's helped me is when I'm feeling insecure, when I'm feeling very low in value, you know what I say to God? I say, that's true. Yes, I am. Right? Like, I don't know. You're not a very good pastor. You're not a good father. And part of how I address it with God is, you know, yeah, I'm not good enough. But then I say, Lord, have mercy, help me. And I feel the presence of God say, it's okay. Because when you are weak, I can be strong, right? When you recognize you're not able to do this in your own strength, then I am able to come through in my strength. And what that does for me, I mean, not only the support and encouragement, but it frees me from the pressure of having to achieve this level of what I think is a good father, a good pastor, right? I just draw close to the Lord and know that He can do far more in me than myself in my own strength. So let's go to the Lord.
Thank you. have this heart in me.
Spirit, we just ask that you would help us, Holy Spirit, lead us. Sometimes, God, we look too much to our circumstances. Sometimes we look too much to others, to what we compare, even on social media. We compare, we read and compare. And so, Lord, help us to be aware when we're doing this, aware of our weakness, our sinfulness, our inability. And instead of pretending we're not, instead of pretending we're okay or good enough, like this Pharisee, that we would be able to just humble ourselves before you and just say, Lord, I'm struggling with this. I'm way too, I care way too much about what other people think through people's likes or how many followers I have or and instead, Lord, help me to shift my focus back to you, to be so aware of what you've done for me in my life, what you did on the cross, and how you've set me free from earning and comparison. You did this for Moses and the Israelites. You set them free as slaves, God, and set us free now, Lord, from, I guess, also, even though we're not slaves, but oftentimes we're acting like it, Lord. And so set us free from that and let us really receive and walk in the identity that you have given us, which is your sons and your daughters, that you already love us. It's not something that we can earn or have to prove so that we receive your love, but you already love us for who we are. We thank you, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. Let's turn toward the screens. Let's take some time to pray together. Let's pray for those who are suffering from cancer and going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for God's encouragement, for His healing hand to come, for strength, spiritual, emotional, physical. Pray for those loved ones who are suffering from illness but also in need of a word of salvation. Let's pray that God would speak and touch those people on the list. pray for healing for those on the infirmities list. Let's also pray for those who are have COVID right now. Let's pray for their, I guess, quarantine time. Pray for God's presence to minister to them, to heal them, and also for our frontline medical workers. Let's pray for their protection and also their mental health during this time. Let's pray for those who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for God's provision and leading. Let's go to our Choose Thursday prayers. Let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for Singapore, SPS Chi. Let's pray for Indonesia, our Indonesian Minish Church, SPIN in Hong Kong. And let's also pray for Philippines and SPIL, our Filipino church in Hong Kong. Let's pray for SP Kids, Youth, SPU. Pray for the logistics of meeting in person. And just for their meeting this coming week. Also pray for our prayer and healing ministries, IP, The Well, River. Let's pray for their meetings, for the presence of God to really lead them and be so apparent. Let's pray for our local outreaches, Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for these ministries during this time of COVID. Pray for the leaders, how they can be really creative and innovative and adaptive during this season. Pregnancies. Let's pray for Common, Fiona, Leslie, Tyon, Winnie, and others. For our house churches, Cullen West, East Bay, McRobinson, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Ventress. You can pray for the leaders as they are trying to figure out like whether to meet in person and if there's any policies that they want to do. I just pray for the leading of the Holy Spirit, for their good discussion also with the hosts, if they have a host. Jesus, just give thanks again. Give thanks to you. And we don't, you know, we don't want to get our value through what we do, Lord, or what we've achieved, but we want to really just get our value from what you did on the cross for us, for the love that you have for us, that we would be defined by what you think and the affections you have for us. And so, Lord, just continue to minister to us, that we would be so aware of your heart, your affections, your presence in our life, even as we go about our day. Help us to be just so aware and discerning, God, of what you're doing. And so just bless us and continue to lead us, because we really need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. Enjoy your time with the Lord.